Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's go.
Happy Monday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 3-hour space shuttle shuffle. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Chicago to Sheboygan, Kalamazoo, and Waterloo. Hey, you're on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live from the Quicken Loans studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. How is everybody doing after a wonderful weekend? Hopefully well. We've got a big show coming up for you. We've got back-to-back and a belly-to-belly former NFL offensive lineman turned analyst to break down the weekend that was. Jeff Schwartz, our friend, NFL analyst, former offensive lineman, is going to join us at the top of hour number three. Following him, Super Bowl champion, former offensive lineman, NFL analyst Max Starks. He has intimate knowledge of the Pittsburgh Steelers organization, and there's a lot to pick apart when it comes to the Steelers because yesterday was an unacceptable cough job, gag job, choke job by Pittsburgh. So we'll discuss that coming up in 15 minutes. How did the Steelers blow that game? Later on in the hour, did Amari Cooper kickstart a Cowboys playoff run? How good has he been? Can the Bears ride this defense all the way to Atlanta? The 12 DAs of Christmas, number 9, a woman of the church, is all coming up straight ahead this morning on the show. Plus, I promise you, one of the most indelible, memorable sound checks we have of the year, because the best audio of the weekend is coming your way. It's emotional. I think you'll really enjoy it. It is one of the coolest sports moments of the entire 2018 calendar year coming your way in soundcheck next hour. All of that is coming up this morning on the program. So look, there's a ton to dive into. Hit me up on the phone at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. You can always connect with us on Twitter as well. DA on CBS. But out of everything that happened yesterday, it has to start with the Dolphins, the Patriots, and whatever that was at the end of that game. On a day where the Chiefs won, the Patriots needed to keep track with Kansas City for that one seed in the AFC playoffs. Look, I've talked about this. You guys know this by now. I'm sure you've heard it recycled and repeated many a time. In the 8 Super Bowl runs, 8 of the Belichick-Brady era, none of which have come playing wild card weekend. None of which have come when they have not had a bye. None of which have come when they haven't been at least the 2 seed. And so that bye is crucial, absolutely critical to a Patriots run. The Patriots, by the way, are also fighting history here. We have not had a Super Bowl loser come back and win the Super Bowl since the perfect undefeated 1972 Miami Dolphins. That's how long it's been since somebody lost the Super Bowl and came back to win it. It just doesn't happen. It just never happens. And that's for a multitude of reasons, but it is hard to get there. It's really hard to lose there. And it's really hard to lose there and then come back and do it again and finish the job. But yesterday, a division game on the road in Miami. You guys know I have clowned the AFC East time and time and time and time again. Patriots fans haven't appreciated that. Probably Jets and Bills and Dolphins fans haven't either. And here was another tomato can, easy layup of a win. And the Patriots played pretty bad football. And the Dolphins played pretty good football. But at the very end of this game, Miami has 69 yards to go on one final play for one miracle. And they need a miracle here to finally pull it out. And as you all know by now, they got the miracle. How did it sound on Dolphins radio? And did the Patriots just gag away a Super Bowl run? Because now the Chiefs are two games clear of the Pats with three to play. Meaning, if the Chiefs win their first playoff game as the one seed, the Pats would have to go to Arrowhead in an AFC championship game, and the Patriots have not won a road playoff game since 06. It is where we begin. It is your cold open.
Parker pitches it. And it's strike, strike, 30, 20. Greg Pouncey's got a tackle.
Oh, that one out.
He got it in the end zone. Unbelievable! Are you kidding me?
I saw Kenyon there. I'm like, pitch it, pitch it. He pitches it. And KD came back inside. I kind of had a great view of the whole thing. Came back inside. Then I saw him and Gronk about 10 yards away. I was like, Gronk's on the field. We got this, you know? So it was pretty amazing.
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
Well, no truer words have ever been spoken than Ryan Tannehill after the game saying, Gronk is on the field. We got this. That was Miami Dolphins radio on the call. Jimmy Cephalo and company going crazy, understandably so. So the Dolphins win 34-33. The Patriots now have four losses. They're two games behind the Chiefs, although they do hold the head-to-head tiebreaker, having beaten them earlier in the season. But the Chiefs now have to lose twice in the final three games, and the Patriots have to win out for them to catch them for the number one seed. And next week, they got to go to Heinz Field to take on what I would imagine is a pretty angry Steelers team that has lost three straight games at this point in time. The question is, why would Bill Belichick have Gronk on the field at the end of that game? And there is not a good reason. Because Ryan Tannehill was not throwing a 70-yard bomb for a Hail Mary. Gronk makes sense on the field when he's swatting down Hail Marys. He's just bigger and taller than anybody else on that field. So when he goes up, he's going to get the first finger on it. He's going to get the first paw on it. He is going to use all of his frame and his extension to go up high and swat it down. But on laterals? On the hook and ladder? On what Belichick described as the desperado play? It makes no sense to have him in there. Absolutely none. Especially when you've taken out one of your best defensive players in McCourty to do so. Which is amazing because at the end of the first half, the Patriots also had a mind fart in how Brady butchered the end of the half and squandered points and admitted after the game, I thought we had a timeout. You never see the Patriots do this, ever. You never see them beat themselves. But when Kenyon Drake is turning the corner, and the Dolphins give them so much credit because they executed the lateral play perfectly. When Drake turns the corner and there's big, clunky Gronk looking like Cletus the Fox Sports robot, but less agile, falling over, you're saying, how could Gronk be the final line of defense on a lateral play? And this is crazy. it is crazy because sometimes there are plays, sometimes there are moments where a dynasty dies. And we think about the Cowboys, the 1981 NFC Championship game, the catch by Dwight Clark. That was the day the dynasty died, and it birthed the new dynasty, which were the San Francisco 49ers. I'm not saying the Dolphins are a new dynasty. I am saying there are moments where you see a once great team look old overnight or look out of it, and you're just not used to seeing it. And yesterday was that. A brain fart by Belichick, a brain fart by Brady, a crazy play beats them. They always seem to play poorly on the road in Miami, and that's the difference between them potentially hosting an AFC title game or going on the road where they never win on the road in the playoffs. It was startling. It was startling to watch that because that just never happened to the Patriots. And you've got to criticize Belichick. You have to. There is just no excuse for Gronk to be out there on a play that is not going to be a Hail Mary, and you know from 70 yards out it's not. And Gronk admitted after the game, every time he's ever practiced that play on defense, it's been the Hail Mary. So Belichick did something that he never does. He put a player in a position to fail because they were unfamiliar. That never happens. The Patriots were out-coached and out-executed, and that just never, ever, ever happens. Ever. Startling. Jarring. I can't believe what I saw. And I can't believe that might be the reason the Patriots lose the playoffs. Oh, by the way, they've lost four games on the road this season, and they've looked, at times, nothing like themselves. And so I've said this all season long. I think they're very vulnerable in the playoffs. But boy, yesterday you're just left scratching your head going, this is the weirdest Patriots season in a long time. Three blowout losses on the road to non-playoff teams and then losing like that on a gag job. It's crazy. 855-212-4CBS, Twitter, DA on CBS. Now our toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Matt is in Boston, listening online to cbssportsradio.com. Good morning, Matt.
Morning, DA.
What's up, buddy?
Permission to come aboard?
Permission granted. What's going on?
Well, what's going on is that I'm ready to whip out this chainsaw and fire down a tree after what happened yesterday in Miami. I mean, what the hell was that? Seriously, what the hell was that? Damon, this team, they are so freaking mediocre this year. They are freaking hard to watch. I've had it. I've had it. The coaching is horrendous. What the hell was Brady doing at the end of the first half? You know what? End the season now. I've had it. I've had it.
That is how you start off a Monday morning, responding and reacting to a little NFL weekend, huh? I've had it. End the season. Well done, Matt. Well done. That's how we kick things off around here. 855-212-4CBS. Twitter, DA on CBS. They do feel very vulnerable in the playoffs. I would totally agree. They're slightly better than mediocre, but a couple of times this year, now four times, they've been well worse than mediocre. When we come back here on the show, we will hear how it sounded on Patriots radio and then also ask the question, what is wrong with the Steelers? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Good value, big upside.
I do love the Da. I do.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
22 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Full episodes are available on iTunes. Search DA and CBS. You'll find us there. So catch up on something you may have missed or just want to hear again, including all the 12 DAs of Christmas, by going to iTunes or other places podcasts are downloaded. Also, you can listen to us on demand on the website, daoncbs.com. You can also ask the pros. Today's an Ask the Pros question of the day kind of day. So simply tweet at me, DA on CBS. I'll be listening later on to the show when we'll answer that question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly. Better parts, better prices every day. What happened to the Patriots yesterday? It is one of the most jarring, startling moments of the NFL season. Dodger Blue Jackson tweets, wow, Madden Boston sounded like a mad Raiders fan. That's how you respond as a fan when your team plays like garbage. Hashtag mediocre. Sarah Mary Dix tweets, the Patriots losing on the road to the Dolphins is the world's greatest thing ever. Here's to hoping they also lose at Heinz Field next weekend. Sarah Marie Dix getting in on the action as the Patriots gag away a win at the end. We heard how it sounded on Dolphins radio. You could only imagine how it sounded on Patriots radio. You'll note that color analyst Scott Zolak almost always has a ton to say. He's a sports talk host. He's a very excitable color analyst. So especially after wins, he's the guy that says, fire up the buses, show ponies and candy canes, where's the beef? He's had a ton of final phrases, final calls, and the Patriots have won. But after a loss like that, listen to the stunned silence and how long it is on 98.5 The Sports Hub, my old home and Patriots radio.
For the Dolphins survey, what he sees in front of him, a field of defensive backs and a hawking tight end who stands at the 15-yard line. Tannehill throws down the middle, caught by Stills, laterals back to Butler, or rather Parker, who flips it to Drake. He runs across the 40 of New England, angling inside to the 30, 25, 20, 15, 10. He's going to win the foot race to the end zone. The Dolphins are going to win it on the lateral. Once, then twice. And Drake takes it in. And the Patriots stand stunned in disbelief.
Hello? Anybody home?
I don't know what to say.
They are freaking hard to watch. I've had it. The coaching is horrendous. What the hell was Brady doing at the end of the first half? You know what? End the season now. I've had it.
What is going to happen when the Patriots are not good anymore?
I've had it!
I mean, is that silence not deafening? That just says everything. Like, what just happened? How could that have just happened? How did Belichick have Gronk out there, Mraz? I still don't understand it. How can you have clunky, overthinking the whole thing? How can you have big old lumbering Gronk out there when they're going to run the lateral play?
Did Bill Belichick think Uncle Rico was about to throw the ball a quarter mile out there? What are you thinking? And not only is Gronk out there, Devin McCourty isn't, who is their best tackler in open space. What is Belichick? What is going through Belichick's head yesterday? But all I kept thinking about DA was another rock fight in the AFC East. Another rock fight.
Yeah. As Tom Curran told us from NBC Sports Boston last week, diabolical defenses, always a rock fight in the AFC East, right?
End the season now.
It's so perfect that last week I just slaughtered the AFC East. The Patriots have a walkthrough. It's a light scrimmage. They've got three games in the division, the final month of the season. They're going to cakewalk to another division title, cakewalk to a bye, maybe the number one seed. And then as soon as I say that, what's amazing is that also, that's exactly what happens to opposing coaches against Belichick. They just somehow lose their mind and do stupid things and lose. And yet it happened to the Patriots yesterday. Inexplicable. Inexplicable.
I've had it.
So how about the Steelers? I mean, what is going on? What's the deal with the Steelers? How do you lose that game? How do you? You have lost two straight games. You have the Patriots coming up. There is absolutely no way you can go to Oakland and lose. There's no way. The Raiders have packed it in. The Raiders are a 2-10 team. The Raiders have nobody left. They've traded away all of their good players. The Steelers must win. They have to win. They're a 10-point favorite in this game. They know to keep the lead in the division, they have to win this game. And they play again just an up-and-down, inconsistent, uninspired game. Roethlisberger, of course, gets dinged. How hurt is he? Nobody ever knows. Tomlin, after the game, admits that he could have come back sooner than he did, which is just totally ridiculous. Why would you admit that you took the Raiders lightly by saying, what, our offense was in rhythm? It was an interception by Dobbs and a punt or a turnover on downs. What do you mean they were in rhythm? Get Roethlisberger back in the game. What are you doing? And then he leads the team down the field. They get the touchdown under 2 minutes to play. Okay, the Steelers are going to survive here. And the defense allows the Raiders, with nobody on offense anymore, to go down the field and convert the fourth and goal. What are you doing? And then they get the lateral to sign themselves up for a 40-yard game-tying field goal, and Chris Boswell slips. Mike Tomlin, you have to have some real serious conversations about whether Tomlin needs to be canned. Because these three losses in a row are so unacceptable. The way that they've lost these games, they've lost them every different which possible way. They've imploded in all three, gagging away giant leads, fourth down conversions against them, sloppy special teams, poor game management, bad play by Roethlisberger at the end of the Denver game. These cannot happen. Not 3 weeks in a row. Not 3 weeks in a row. The Steelers are so much better than what they've shown the last 3 weeks. And yesterday was the nail in the coffin. I know you like stability in Pittsburgh. I know you want to stay with the guy that's been there for a while. I know that Tomlin has gone to two Super Bowls before and won one. But I'm sorry, the way that this team loses games, you've got to look at the head coach. What was that?
This will be a 40-yarder. He's missed a 37-yarder earlier today. Snap.
He slipped.
Hold. He slips. The Raiders win it. Can you believe it?
Oh, my.
The Raiders are a winner. Let the celebration begin, baby.
He got looked at halftime. He got treatment. He came back out. We were waiting to see if he was going to be able to come back in. He was. Probably could have come in a series or so sooner, but we were in the rhythm in Florida game. He was ready to go when he got back out there.
Why would you ever say that? That's Brett Musburger on Raiders Radio. I just can't with Tomlin. What? He probably could have come in earlier, but we were in the rhythm of the game. Josh Dobbs has no rhythm. You've got a Hall of Fame quarterback there in a game that you've got to win. You can't afford not to put him back in. I swear, one of these days, I'm going to end up doing an NFL Network top 10 moments that Ben Roethlisberger milked an injury. I'm sure of it. Number 9, Raiders 2018. But come on. What? What? Bizarre.
Come on.
Bizarre. When we come back, you're on the show. I clowned the Cowboys for giving up a number one for Amari Cooper. I have that old egg all drippy, runny over my face. We'll discuss. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Good value, big upside. It's D.A. on CBS Sports Radio.
And Prescott in the gun. They look like they're going to blitz. Here comes everybody. Slant in the direction. Cooper caught it on the bounce. Off the defender. Cooper walks into the end zone. Touchdown, Cooper. Cowboys win. How else would you settle this game besides the ball bouncing off a defender into Amari Cooper's hands and him walking in for the winning score? How else?
No, this is really a dream come true. When I thought of playing in the NFL as a youth, this is the perfect example of that. From everything from the city, the facilities, winning, watching that defense out there, watching his offense out here, it's a dream come true.
Brad Sham, voice of the Cowboys on Cowboys Radio. Amari Cooper after his huge day and the Cowboys win. Welcome back, DA, with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Doing More brought to you by the Home Depot Next Generation Home Improvement. Everything that you need to do Project Smarter. The Home Depot, more saving, more doing. Taking a look at a player doing more for his team, Saquon Barkley, the Giants rookie, 14 carries, 170 in the Giants blowout win in Washington, 40-16. He goes for a 78-yard touchdown, the longest of his career, just, of course, his rookie season right now, but the fifth longest rushing touchdown already in Giants history. First Giants rookie to break 1,000 yards and set a single franchise rookie record with his 13th touchdown.
I would take Bradley.
Hey, when the Dallas Cowboys traded for Amari Cooper back in October, I laughed and I scoffed and I said, look, the Cowboys aren't Amari Cooper away from winning the division. They're not Amari Cooper away from going on a run of the playoffs. So why bother? And also, and I still hold this true, I don't think it's smart to trade number one draft picks for a player that's not one of the three to four best in the league at what he does, because you can then draft that guy and have him at a much more reasonable cost with that number one draft pick. In other words, the Cowboys did not have to trade for Amari Cooper. They could have used that first-round draft pick this April and drafted an Amari Cooper, but have him on 4 years of a rookie contract deal before you have to pay him versus having to pay Amari Cooper now, which is why the Raiders traded him. But beyond what I disagree with the roster build aspect of it, the Cowboys have won football games with Cooper, and he's been every bit worth it to them with that number one draft pick. And yesterday, 10 catches, 217 yards, a 75-yarder, three touchdowns, including the game winner in overtime, and the Cowboys are in the driver's seat to win the NFC East and have a home playoff game, 29-23 over the Eagles. I couldn't have been more wrong. The Cowboys are Amari Cooper away from winning the division. They've won 5 of 6 games since they drafted him. And last night, you just see what type of confidence Dak has now in Cooper. They don't have other great wide receivers. They don't have other great targets. No one's going to go crazy for Michael Gallup. Cole Beasley's fine, but he's not a game breaker. Allen Hurns is pedestrian. They don't have a great tight end. Hell, they're trying to woo back Jason Witten from outside the Monday Night Football booth. And please, Jason Witten, take the job. Please. Please, we don't want you on Monday Night Football anymore. Please. But the Cowboys have proven that Amari Cooper has been a tremendous move. Tremendous. I still don't really know what to make of Dak Prescott, because if you looked at the numbers last night, Dak threw for 455 yards and 3 touchdowns. And you go, my goodness, he's a superstar. 455? And yet, how many throws were inaccurate? How many times did he have an open wide receiver and he just muffed it? I mean, Michael Gallup is galloping wide open and he overthrows him by 3 yards. Could have been a touchdown. How many times do you see Dak, especially the deep ball, be inaccurate? He's fine with slants. He's fine intermediary stuff. He's obviously very good with his legs, but anything downfield is almost always off the mark, except there's a few bullets thrown in there, like one of the touchdowns to Cooper back at the end zone, where you go, wow, that is a great throw. Wildly inconsistent, but you know what? The Cowboys are going to win this division. And the addition of Cooper has been brilliant. It really has. It's been brilliant for him. I think it has settled down Dak in many ways. And Amari Cooper has seemed like he's gotten out of jail. I mean, he was not this effective in Oakland, and not just because he was playing with maybe Derek Carr, who has his flaws. It just seemed like Amari Cooper has been beaten down in Oakland and didn't have fun or wasn't energized or wasn't playing at his full tilt. I don't know. But he's a much better Amari Cooper right now. And perhaps Cooper just needed a change of scenery. Maybe the John Gruden thing had started to wear on him. Maybe the Oakland thing, when you're not winning, starts to wear on you. But does Cooper look like a totally different wide receiver right now? I mean, if you could have told me this was the Amari Cooper the Cowboys were going to get, I might have felt a little differently about the trade at the time. I did not think you were going to get this Amari Cooper. But he's been brilliant. And the Cowboys are going to win this division. And I don't think they're an easy out, even though I joked about that throughout the season. Whoever wins the NFC East is going to have their doors blown off of that first game, because the Cowboys' defense is totally legit. The Cowboys' defense gets after you. The Cowboys' defense creates a pass rush. The Cowboys' defense has star power on it. And whether it's Vander Esch or Lawrence or down the list, they've got ballers on defense. Ezekiel Elliott's always a tough guy to bring down. And now you have a wide receiver that's playing like a number one, and the Cowboys have taken control. They're going to win this division, and they're going to be a tough, tough out, because they've got a great defense, and they've got a running back in his prime that they are willing to give the football to 40 times. You can't do this forever. I would imagine Ezekiel Elliott only has 4 or 5 good years of this type of play in him, because you can't ride a guy 40 times and have him sledgehammer into the defensive line constantly. But the Cowboys were smart. And look, the clapper went for it on 4th and 1 and handed off to Ezekiel Elliott, knowing that we're wearing down this Eagles defense. They're going to quit.
Clap on.
So I give Garrett credit. I give Dak credit. I give Cooper credit. I give the Cowboys credit. They're a really good football team right now, and they showed it yesterday. 5th straight win. 5-1 since they traded for Cooper. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. You know, I want to ask something of Mraz here, because while all of us were actually consumed by real football games yesterday, Mraz was consumed by the Giants in Washington, a game that did not matter. I don't care what you tell me about the Giants' playoff chances.
Matters.
It does not matter.
Vikings lose tonight, it matters.
How does it matter?
If the Vikings lose tonight, stay with me, and the Giants win out, all they need is Carolina to lose 2 of their last 3. They play New Orleans twice. They need the Packers to lose 2 of the last 3, including a big game in Chicago, and the Vikings to lose 2 of their last 3. They play Chicago and somebody else good, and the Giants will be the 6th seed in the NFC playoffs. Oh, the Eagles got to lose 2 or 3 too.
So you think
they play the Rams? And
so you're hanging your hat on the Giants at 8-8, making the NFC playoffs as the 6th seed.
Put it this way: it was so out there when I first read it that now, if you look at it, look at the games remaining, they would need losses for 2 or 3 from 4 different teams. That if the Giants win out, that's the hardest part, is beating the Titans, Colts, and Cowboys. The Giants will be the 6th seed in the playoffs.
What?
Look at it. Look at the scenario. Tell me I'm nuts. I'm not nuts. But they have to win those 3. Obviously, you're not going to get a 7-9. It's looking like right now Giants Bears wild card weekend, which is signed for.
Stop it. Could you imagine Khalil Mack, Akeem Hicks, and that Bears defense on Eli? Oh my God.
Interesting
you say that.
What happened last week when we had them on Eli?
Bloodbath.
Big Giant win. We already beat the Bears. We own them. We're in their head.
Oh, come on.
Come on.
I don't even want to talk about the Giants making the playoffs because it's so stupid. I want to talk about what Pat Shurmur said after the game about Kyle Laletta. Okay, this is hysterical. Kyle Laletta, Giants fans have been clamoring for all season because Eli's been so bad, right? Clamoring for. So Laletta, once they're up 40-0, essentially, Laletta finally gets in, rookie quarterback out of Richmond. And Pat Shurmur says, quote, "I fielded enough questions regarding Kyle Laletta that those of you that were interested in seeing him, hopefully you got a chance to see what you were looking for." Because he was terrible. I mean, absolutely awful. So what Pat Shurmur is saying is, you guys wanted him, you guys got him. See, I told you, he stinks.
But good, we got to see him. That's what we wanted. Now, to be fair to Shurmur, or to be fair to Laletta, didn't exactly have Odell Beckham Jr. to throw the ball down the field to. I mean, he's running around with Benny Fowler and Corey Coleman, so let's relax.
Kyle Laletta, 0 for 5, 0 yards, 0 touchdowns, 0.0 quarterback rating, and a QBR of 0.1.
Yeah, he didn't look good.
He got a 0!
Mind you, you have Ravens-Chiefs going on, big Colts-Texans run. Fourth quarter of that game was Kyle Laletta versus Josh Johnson, and I am knee-deep in Buffalo Wild Wing sauce.
Oh, God. Disgusting. So you were watching Kyle Laletta versus Josh Johnson.
Yes, I was. I was into the fourth quarter. I was ready to go. Haven't had a laugh like that in a long time for the Giants. Now, I had two TVs, so I had my eyes on everything, but still.
It was 40-0, and you were watching that.
It was a big party in the Mraz house. Bob's varicose veins were pulsating. He was pumped up.
Ew. You're talking about your dad's varicose veins?
Yeah, he was pumped. Blood was pumping through those legs.
Oh, God. Oh. There was so much other good football to watch. Mraz is watching Kyle Laletta throw interceptions at a 95% empty FedEx field.
Look, I'm just looking for Wayne Goldman to break one there in the fourth. We were trying to play for 50.
I love Pat Shurmur. You guys wanted to see Kyle Laletta? I gave you Kyle Laletta. Any more questions?
What does it say? It's his draft pick, dope.
It's just great. See? He stinks. Mike tweets, "DA, what's up? What the heck were the Chiefs doing yesterday when they were just toying with Baltimore? I'm not too sure if they could make it through the rest of the season if they continue to do that, let alone the playoffs." Well, for the Kansas City Chiefs yesterday, once again, Patrick Mahomes is worth the price of admission every single time. His no-look pass, looking right and slinging it left, is once again so evident that he has that baseball background. He just picks up grounders and whips it across his body. There's never been a quarterback to do that. Marino came closest. Bernie Kosar had kind of a sidearm throw as well. But those guys weren't as athletic. Kosar was actually very athletic. Marino was not in terms of mobility. But Mahomes can slither out of harm's way and then throw against his body with accuracy like he did on that play. It looked like it was an optical illusion. But beyond that, the 4th and 9 is just brilliant, Tyreek Hill. He gets out of trouble, scrambles right, is going out of bounds, and then heaves it downfield and throws it in a direction where Hill can run under it. Have we ever seen a guy do that? And I just bring up the mobility aspect. I guess Aaron Rodgers is it, but Mahomes even makes some throws that Rodgers doesn't make. Mahomes bailed him out. And then they, of course, get the strip sack at the end of regulation, Lamar Jackson, and they can't convert the field goal, if you can believe it. The Chiefs played with fire yesterday, but let me say this. I think the Ravens are a really good football team, and I think the Ravens are the type of team you do not want to see in the playoffs. Lamar Jackson is inconsistent. He makes some good throws. He makes some bad throws. At times, he looks like a deer in headlights trying to go through his progressions. But look at how much pressure they got on Mahomes. I thought the Ravens did such a good job breaking down the Chiefs' offensive line yesterday. Every time Mahomes dropped back to pass, the Ravens were all over him like a cheap suit. I thought that the pressure they got on Mahomes was a total game changer and was the reason the Chiefs did not look like the Chiefs yesterday. Now, the injury to Tyreek Hill is interesting to watch. The suspension and then, of course, dismissal of Kareem Hunt is something you have to watch for. But I just think that what you saw yesterday, not actually a Chiefs team that looked mediocre, I think it was a bad matchup. Physical defense gets after the passer. The Chiefs are built around Mahomes. Mahomes with time, and the Chiefs are devastating. Mahomes without time, the Chiefs look like that. It's amazing to me that the Ravens can make the playoffs and John Harbaugh can win a playoff game and get fired. And Marvin Lewis is going to miss the playoffs and get promoted to an executive. That's what's going to be amazing this offseason in the AFC North. Because can you really look at the Ravens and say John Harbaugh doesn't deserve to remain the head coach in Baltimore? And apparently Steve Bisciotti wants to go elsewhere. Fine. Make your own bed because Harbaugh's a good coach and the Ravens are dangerous this year. Last night on Sunday Night Football, the Bears did something nobody else has been able to do since Sean McVay took over the Rams. Are the Bears good enough to get to a Super Bowl? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.